Welcome to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Thursday, a beautifully cold day. You're listening to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9 with Tyler Sear, Greg Avgropoulos, Josh McGrath, Segang, and unfortunately no Aaron Zerfus today. But you know what? We're back, and we're back with a special guest, too. Welcome back all our fans, and as well as Nepean Raiders assistant coach, Frank Sear. Frank, how's it going?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Boys, how are we feeling? It's our first show of 2022.
Not too bad, man. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad that we're all healthy now. You know, three of us caught COVID over the break, so that was kind of unfortunate. But we're back. We're happy to bring you guys more entertainment. So let's go, Greg.
So, hey, guys. It's good to be back. For reference, Frank is Tyler's dad. So
unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately. Tyler, what do you got to say to that?
I'm adopted, so.
Fair enough.
Anyway, let's get into the NBA a little bit. We're delighted to have you on the show, Frank. So
thank you.
Let's get started with some sports talk, shall we? Josh?
Yeah, so over the break, the Memphis Grizzlies kind of took the league by storm. They became what's looking like a top three team in the league, which is kind of crazy. They're very, very young, led by Ja Morant. And even after making that questionable trade last year, you know, they're looking really good. So I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I was pretty shocked to see. I think they're sitting at like 29-15 right now or something crazy like that. And it's
31-15.
And
third in the West.
They're beating every good team in the league. It's absolutely incredible. Jaw came back once again early from a mild injury. He sprained his MCL right before the break and came back, and he's been dominant since. And I don't know what he does in his rehab, but he's always coming back quickly off injuries.
I'm not going to lie, man. The way I see him play, like when he goes up for a dunk, I'm not surprised he doesn't get injured more. Like, have you seen the way he lands?
Yeah.
It's like one leg, and it looks like he's about to break his leg when he lands. It's quite terrifying, to be honest. But yeah, is he in the MVP consideration?
I don't believe so. I think the top five in MVP right now is like Steph,
all the
KD.
Big guys. Yeah.
Would you put LeBron in there? He's been struggling.
No,
a little bit.
No, I wouldn't, just because the Lakers are bad. I don't even want to talk about the Lakers. I'll be depressed the rest of the show.
Yeah, Josh, big Lakers guy over here, by the way, Frank.
Okay.
Yeah. So, they're notable. Like Wednesday, they went on an 11-game win streak at one point. I think that's the longest this season. Like they beat the Clippers, Lakers. They beat the Warriors. They beat the Nets. Like they've literally beaten every good team. The Suns even. So it's like, I don't know how you can stop this Grizzlies team. I don't know if they'll be able to make a playoff push per se, but I mean, they got a bit of experience last year, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah, and how about the Raptors?
The Raptors have been playing really well, man. Fred
VanVleet, too. Yeah.
I know we talked about this before the break. Fred VanVleet, All-Star. I think he's making a strong case to be an All-Star.
He should make it. I know I said before on our break, I said he shouldn't be. I was the only one that said he shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But the way he's playing right now, just because every time I watch the Raptors, I've used to be a big Raptors fan, not too much anymore. I still watch, but he has this tendency to just go for all the glory, is what I like to call it. If it's like a close game, he doesn't want to pass the ball. Like he's like, yeah, I'm gonna take this 30 footer with two guys on me. He doesn't care, which I don't like personally as a fan and as like somebody who just likes to watch good basketball. I can't really deny the way he's playing, because he's playing really well.
The Raptors are currently 21-20. Josh, where do you think they'll end up by the end of the season?
They could get a playoff spot.
I think
they're ninth right now.
They could try and force a playoff spot. I really think they're going to be in the play-in and have to win those two games for sure to make it. I just think the East has gotten so much more talented, and like the level of play on some of these other teams, like Charlotte, for instance, Miles Bridges has obviously been the clear-cut most improved this season. So I think it's going to be a strong they're going to have a really strong end of the season. But, I mean, they've surprised me thus far for sure.
They're just so fun to watch, too.
They are.
They're just fun.
They kind of are, yeah. No. The Washington Wizards are playing the Raptors tonight at 8 p.m., so be sure to catch that. Josh, is there anything else that stands out in the NBA at the moment that, you know, fans should maybe take notice of?
The one thing I will say is Klay Thompson returning to basketball. I'm a big Klay Thompson fan.
I read that. Yeah.
Yeah, he came back after, you know, tearing his ACL and then also his Achilles.
And he dunked on somebody.
Dunked on somebody his first game back. Last night he had like 21 in the first half.
21
in
like eight or something like that? Or something good,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, he did 21 in 11 minutes or something crazy. So it's like he's getting back into form. He's getting those runs in, and he He's a confident shooter, so, I mean, he's someone to look out for because I'm sure he's going to have a big game sometime soon.
And that's scary. If you're not the Golden State Warriors, you're already scared of the Golden State Warriors because, I mean, these guys are...
They're number one in the West, I
unreal.
Think, still.
Unreal.
No, they're two.
It's nonstop.
The Suns are insane. 34-9.
They made it back? Okay.
The Suns are doing a good job,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Suns look like they're...
The Suns are their last 10. They're 8-2, so...
Yeah.
Jeez. The Grizzlies are 9-1, though, in their last 10. They've been on a roll.
Mavericks, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mavericks. I love Luka too. He's a great guy.
He's also so fun.
He's fun to watch. He plays at such a different tempo than the rest of the league.
So it's really cool to watch him in slow motion.
Yeah.
But it's cool to watch him still doing stuff.
Because it's such fast pace and he just always seems like he's just very, very slow doing his thing. So it's really cool to watch.
I mean, basketball might not be my biggest sport, but who do you think is going to make it to the end there? The NBA Finals. You think it's going to be Lakers, Warriors again?
Lakers will not. It'll be
Lakers might be in the play-in game.
I'll pick my Final Four. So I think the Final Four will be Golden State versus Phoenix. Mm-hmm. And then I think in the East it'll be Brooklyn, Milwaukee if they can kind of figure out their seeding because I think right now it kind of looks like they might meet in the second round again. So
Would you say that Phoenix deserves that the most?
Yeah.
Phoenix, without a doubt.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I loved that Chris Paul made the finals last year. I thought that was really cool because he went so long without making the finals. So him getting that young team there and they've all gotten this experience and they're taking after him, I think it's going to be really good for them to make another strong push this year. They've been super healthy, minus Ayton. But they're playing really good basketball. And then Golden State, I'm super happy to see them back at like good strength. Kuminga's been playing great. A G League guy coming, getting drafted early. And they haven't even gotten Wiseman back, which is absolutely insane because – he could add a lot of dominance down low. So that'll be very interesting to see kind of those two teams match up. And then the East, I mean, it's still kind of up for grabs, but I think Milwaukee's probably the clear-cut best team over out East. I think the Nets, they have a lot of good talent, but sometimes they're sitting there and...
Inconsistent.
Yeah, like they'll play the Bucks one night and they'll beat the Bucks by like 40, like they did against Chicago.
Yeah, and then the next night, the Pistons.
They'll go lose to the Pistons. Yeah. It's like they just don't seem to be taking things seriously out in Brooklyn, so it'll be... Hopefully they can clean things up.
Especially with all the shenanigans they have going on over there.
And KD just got hurt again, so that'll be interesting.
What's the COVID thing looking like in the NBA?
So they just added this new rule, which is like a player exception, so they can sign people to 10-day contracts if you have so many people on COVID or injuries.
Wow.
So it's just like random guys getting 10 days all the time.
Oh, yeah. There was a joke about that there.
Every night.
There's a joke about that there. Who's... I can't remember.
Joe Johnson's like come back. Lance Stevenson just came back. Like a bunch of like old veterans, and then a bunch of just random guys we've never heard of.
For reference, those guys were playing in the Big Three literally a few months ago.
Yeah,
like Ice Cube's basketball. Yeah, exactly. Is what they're playing.
Question for everyone: how do you guys feel about super teams? I mean, would you still consider Brooklyn a super team?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
they're considered when you have talent like that with those Big Three like that. It's hard not to say they aren't, especially with like KD's the best player on the planet when he's healthy. James Harden's still really good. Kyrie, when he plays, he's really good as well. So
you're seeing tons of that around the world now. I mean, you see it with Paris Saint-Germain. They've got the three, probably questionably the best three soccer players in the world.
Hate soccer.
I got a question for you. From a coach's perspective, how do you feel about those super teams? Do you think you could buy your way to a championship like that?
Well, many teams have, right, in many sports, different sports. I'll be honest, this is one of the reasons I don't watch the NBA, gentlemen, just because of that.
I feel that.
Just because it's they buy championships, like you said. Mm-hmm. And the coaches, you kind of take the coach out of the equation because when you bring in that much superstar power, your job as a coach would probably be just to keep the team together and make sure that there's no, you know, distractions of
funny
any sorts.
Business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you look at L.A. and LeBron is the coach. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, that's like an ongoing joke. Wherever he goes, he's going to be the coach.
He's the GM, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the GM. He's everything. He is everything.
Yeah, with the Lakers, like Frank Vogel's on the hot seat right now. He might get fired in the next few days if they keep dropping games. Yeah. But I don't think that's his fault. I think this was poor front office. I think they made a brutal team around LeBron and AD, getting Russell Westbrook and then a bunch of guys out of their prime. So I don't think it's fair to be putting their coach on the hot seat when it's clearly just it's Jeannie Buss's problem and LeBron's problem trying to get all these guys to work when it clearly just wouldn't. The league's getting younger right now. You need to go get young guys. So you need to get it through the draft or you need to make some massive trade to get a bunch of young talent. Because right now, like the old guys, there's not going to be a place for them after they're like 33.
Oh, yeah. You're seeing young talent storm the NBA right now. Just absolutely storm it. All right. Well, we're happy to be back with the Press Box. We're going to throw it to a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about some National Hockey League action as well as the Nepean Raiders. Stay tuned.
Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. Tyler Sear, Greg Avgaropoulos, and Josh McGrath saying, and we're going to get into the Nepean Raiders a little bit, and then we're going to get into some MMA, and then the NHL. So, Greg, you want to start us off with the Nepean Raiders here? What do we want to talk about?
Do I want to start you off with the Nepean Raiders?
Yeah, let's see.
I mean, did we say that we have Frank here?
Yeah, we do. Okay. We do have Frank here.
So, Frank, how's it going, buddy?
It's going good, Greg. How are you?
No, I'm pretty good. I just want to know, what are your thoughts on your team this season and going into, you know, trying to have a better season overall next season?
Yeah, and I think that's the goal. You always want to get better. In my position, I kind of joined the team. I think they had 8 games played already. And since then, I've seen a steady increase in terms of, you know, the way that we play. We've improved a little bit. But unfortunately, consistency hasn't been there. But it is a good, you know, group of guys. And hopefully we can just keep getting better in the second half, should we ever get back on the ice, and just keep, you know, pounding away to get better. Get some wins, but focus on process a little bit, so that next year it's a good sounding board for next year.
Now you said get back on the ice. Mm-hmm. Is there any timeline that you could probably give us as to when that will be?
Yeah, and I think we're really lucky in the CCHL because our commissioner is really, really active on social media. If you guys don't follow him, you should. I think he
What's
tweets.
What's his name, by the way?
Kevin Abrams. He goes by the handle commissioner or the commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he, he's really aggressive. He believes in the CCHL, obviously, and he believes that the CCHL is an elite league, as it is, and that we should be playing because we follow all protocols. All our players are vaccinated, all staff's vaccinated, personnel.
Oh, the whole thing's everybody's vaccinated.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Have to, yeah. But yeah, we're being punished like most other leagues are. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of the dates, I know that we looked at, I believe it's Jan 26 back on the ice and possibly Jan 28 games. And then the league is working with schedules, you know, with their different scenarios that we could possibly look at that are going to be extremely tedious for all teams. But just the fact that we hopefully play a full season would be a win-win for everyone.
Yeah, we're currently looking at the 28th of January for the Nepean Raiders comeback game here against the Brockville Braves. It looks like it's a home game.
No, I think it's in Brockville, it says here.
It is in Brockville. That's correct. I forgot Friday games were away games.
Lovely, eh? It just gets easier for us, doesn't it?
Totally. Just wonderful. But
they're one of the best teams, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. And they've made a couple of moves, too. And no, they're a very good team, very well coached. And they have a lot of depth in their roster, too. So, but it's a team that we've played well all year. So it could be a great opportunity for us.
Speaking of moves, can you tell us about some of the moves that happened this trade deadline? I believe it was the 10th, the trade deadline.
Yeah, so basically, well, Nepean-wise, I mean, you know, unfortunately, we said goodbye to Jeff Taylor, and we wish him all the best in Kentville. He's going to do, I think he's going to do great there. So he got drafted by, and
He got drafted by them.
Yeah,
he got drafted by them, and I don't believe he ever got a chance to actually play for them.
Yeah, I played a little bit, but happy Jason. Jason welcomed them back, and you know, it seemed to be a good fit for him. So we wish him all the best. As a 20-year-old, you know, he came into Nepean, gave everything he had, and really, really was a difference maker for us on most nights. So yeah, we wish him the best.
I just want to know who's gonna, because obviously he was one of your best players, if not the best, arguably. Who's gonna fill like the void for him on the going to be like the head player now?
Yeah, and that's a really good question, Greg. But you know what? I think that's the fun part because we've got a lot of players that you know can get grasp of that. And I think the second half of the season is going to be all about that. I mean, as an assistant coach, obviously I have, you know, minimal
And don't sell yourself short now.
But
part of the staff.
But yeah, no, for sure. But you know, it'll be up to the players, and I think it's up for grabs. And unfortunately, if we're going to have success in a second part of the season, it can't be just one guy. It's going to have to be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys,
yeah.
Or everybody, you know, going on the same page and being on the same page and playing the right way. But you know, everyone together, not just one guy. And unfortunately, you know, for us, yes, we're saying goodbye to Jeff Taylor, but the team just has to, you know, be more cohesive and play together, and I think we'll be just fine.
And what we got in return for the Nepean Raiders?
Yeah, so what I understand is we got Jake Coleman, yep. An 18-year-old who's played in for a couple teams in the CCHL, so looking forward to seeing what he can bring. And we got a couple of prospects for next season. I'm sure that our general manager, Randy Watt, did his homework, and one of the reasons why they're coming to Nepean is to make our program better. So looking forward to getting to know those guys and looking forward to working with Jake in the second half.
I just wanted to know, because obviously you see guys in the NHL and stuff get traded all the time, and obviously as grown men, it's easier to deal with, like, when you're all friends on the team. When a guy leaves, it's easier to deal with than when you're a grown man, I guess, but because these guys are still kind of kids, you know? So I just want to know, like, what's the locker room like after a player like that especially gets traded?
You know what? It's going to be – that's a really good question. It's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, Jeff had a good voice in our locker room, and, you know, he was a good role model for most players. He, on most practices, you know, carried the pace and demanded that a certain pace be followed. And so I'm looking forward, you know, to see what our leadership group does with that, in terms of who's going to take the reins, in terms of, you know, continue to push our guys to play the right way and practice hard and, you know, practice good habits and so forth. But yeah, for sure, it is tough. I think in Jeff's case, you know, he was looking forward to it as a 20-year-old to hopefully compete for a championship. He had never had an opportunity to play in the playoffs, I believe. So, and if Kempville keeps going, I believe they will be this year. So, you know, it'll be a good opportunity for him. But at the same time, it's, you know, when one door closes, another one opens, and, you know, there's a spot to be had there.
Just asking from a reporter's sort of standpoint, is there any update on the injuries that were in effect prior to this COVID lockdown? I believe Hollingsworth was out for a while. Liverman was sick. Is there any updates you can give us?
Yeah, I believe everybody's healthy right now. Everybody's doing great. Everybody's working out. Everybody is doing the little things that they should be doing during this break and taking really good advantage of keeping their conditioning high, so that when we do come back, hopefully come back next week, that we hit the ground running. And head coach Phil has done a really, really good job in pushing the guys and you know, holding them accountable and making sure they're doing all those right things and being accountable to each other too. So, yeah. So in terms of injuries, and I believe we're healthy.
Just for fun, what team so far that you've played this year so far is your most favorite to play against?
Most favorite to play against? Obviously the ones that we can beat.
so not many?
No.
I'm sorry.
That was me.
I'm sorry, Frank. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
But you know what? It's well deserved. You know what? The Junior Sands were something pretty special to watch. They really were. Pembroke's really nice to watch, too, in terms of how they move the puck. And, you know, they have a lot of really high-end skill.
That one kid, Egan, is unreal.
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, I consider him the best player in the league.
Yeah, well, and I believe that is he the one that got signed in the queue?
In the queue? I don't know. There was a player who did...
There's
Sorry,
a kid
I've got it up here. There was somebody from Renfrew who committed to the NCAA.
But I believe Egan has gone to the Q.
Isn't he 19?
Yeah. I believe he's gone to play for Jason Clark.
Oh, yeah, that guy is the best in the league, by the way, points-wise.
Yes.
Yeah, 43 points in 28 games.
He's also just a fun kid to watch.
Max Klano... has committed to Potsdam Bears in the NCAA. He plays for Hawkesbury, one of Hawkesbury's top forwards, without a doubt. Might not be a very recognizable league-wide name, just like, you know, Egan, Taylor, Stockfish, said it normally. I said it normally. but no, he's committed, and it looks like there was a couple more to commit as well. But we won't get into that because no one on the Raiders is gone yet, and
except for Jeff.
Except for Jeff. last question. In terms of your U18 program and all that, it's one of the best in the league, without a doubt. Where do you see the Nepean Raiders ending up in the next couple seasons?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's kind of a hard question to answer because, I mean, all, you know, every player has a different path that they want to take, right? And they are one of the top U18 programs in the country right now, and we're hoping that they continue on that path and have the opportunity to challenge for a national championship. And I think that's what the focus is on with that group. Hunter Racine, one of our assistant coaches, does a great job with being an assistant on that team as well and being a liaison for us and them. And, you know, he raves about his kids, that he calls them. And, you know, I mean, I think we have, what, two that are ranked in the top 10, or actually one ranked in top 10 for the OHL draft coming up. So, no, they're a powerhouse for sure. A couple of them are already drafted in the O, so it all depends on, you know, what route they want to play, either the NCAA or the OHL route. But hopefully we will get some reinforcements there. And, you know, yeah, it's fun to bring kids up and to have them, you know, participate in our program and make our program better, which is what we expect. But at the same time, we're going to be losing some 20-year-olds next year, right? So they will have some big shoes to fill, and playing junior, as they've seen this year, is quite the jump from U18. And you never know how they're gonna react. But, I mean, they're winning right now. They're winning easily with not a lot of competition or not a lot of adversity, which could be a good thing or a bad thing. So, yeah, we'll see how it plays out. But we are definitely very excited about the future with these kids coming up.
All right, well, we're going to hand it over to Josh for a quick MMA rundown of the month, and then we will head right back with some National Hockey League info. Go ahead.
All right, so this upcoming weekend, we have UFC 270 taking place in Houston at the Honda Center. The big fight on the card is Francis versus Cyril Gane. I'm super excited for this one, but first, I want to dive a bit into the Brandon Moreno versus Davidson Figueiredo. That fight, it's going to be the trilogy fight. This is kind of an interesting trilogy fight because Moreno has a win. They tied this first fight against each other, so it was a draw. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that works out. But I'm more interested is, can Figueiredo actually make the weight? He's been struggling for quite some time to make 125. He's a big 125er. And does that weight cut actually impact his performance? Because, you know, against that second fight against Moreno worked him. You know, he got sunk in that rear naked choke in the third. But I felt like the whole fight, Moreno clearly had that winning. So I'm really excited for this fight. It's going to be fireworks. It's going to be a good one. I love Brandon Moreno. First ever Mexican-born UFC champion. So that's going to be a really fun one. But the main fight, Francis Ngannou versus Cyril Gane. Former teammates out in France at the MMA Factory.
They sparred together too.
Yep. So this is going to be very interesting to see how that fight plays out because you have Cyril, who's like a true martial artist.
He's huge, too.
He's massive, 250, 6'4".
Not to mention undefeated.
Yeah. 10-0, I think.
Undefeated. I feel like his...
He hasn't had that many fights, though, to be fair.
No, he's only fought 10, but he's 10-0-0, and then Ngannou's 16-3-0.
Also,
but
like four or five of those are like in the UFC, and he fought a bunch of actual contenders, so that's pretty cool to see in terms of Cyril. He's like a true martial artist. He's really good Muay Thai, full... good wrestler, great kickboxer, so like that's really cool. And then you have Francis, who's like the anomaly of the sport, just has a touch of death. Little punch.
They are similar size, though, to be honest. Like, if you look at them side by side,
no, absolutely. But I think the thing, like, Francis just possesses this power and speed that not many other heavyweights have. But
he's a robot.
Gon has a lot of good footwork, and he's able to keep people at bay, and he has a good fight IQ. So it's going to be interesting to see that. And they kind of have a feel for each other from all the sparring they did in the past. So it'll be interesting to see who's improved more and how these two are actually going to match up head-to-head, because I'm kind of leaning towards Gon. I think
I think so too.
Fight IQ style of it is good, but you can't count Francis out because, like I said, he touches you, you go to sleep. There's no question about it.
You're not wrong.
So it's like it'll be very interesting. I'm really excited for this one.
Is this the fight to watch?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah. If you're going to be up at like 1 a.m. and you're doing nothing, just go find a stream.
So most of us on the weekends?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get in the National Hockey League a little bit here. Greg, I just had one question for you.
Yes,
all right?
Sir.
It's a question.
Go ahead. I'm ready to answer.
The Edmonton Oilers?
Stink. As I said this to you earlier in the year, if you remember.
But
I
why?
I told you they're overrated.
You got.
They have two players. Is it like that? They have two players, man.
Are you not vouching for former Leaf Zach Hyman?
I mean, Zach Hyman is like, he's fine. I mean, on the Leafs, Michael Bunting and Alex Kerfoot have the exact same amount of points as him. So, I mean, not really. And that's a big gut punch if you're the Oilers fan because they signed him to the big deal.
Ow.
They signed him to the big deal. And then you have Kerfoot who's making 3.5 or something like that. And then Bunting is making 900K for 2 years.
Yeah,
and they have the same amount of points as he does.
And you just got Ilya Mikheyev back. And I thank you for that because he's on my fantasy team. But
hey, he's been rolling. He's got like 6 goals in like 6 games.
It's crazy. Making the playoffs something you see for the Edmonton Oilers this year?
I mean, they could definitely make it because when you have players like that, they go on hot streaks, right? You know, where they just two points a game, 4 points a game, and then they just go for weeks and weeks and weeks. But they also have cold spells where they go a few games where it's like you don't notice them. They're not doing anything defensively. They're just trying to look for the big goal every time or just make a big play in general. And, I mean, they have two players. They can't play if one of them's injured or if one of them's not going or two of them aren't going. Like, they can't do anything. Their goaltending isn't good. Their defense isn't good. They're just not a good team if those guys aren't clicking, which even if they are, it's hard to win games with the rest of the roster they've built.
Frank, is there a coaching flaw there that you can see easily? Is there something that maybe needs to be fixed in Edmonton?
Well, I think they took us in a really tough spot as a coach.
I think it's more in the GM because of the way the team's built.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, I mean, it's really hard to build a team around a $12.5 million player with a predecessor of that player as well.
Yeah, obviously,
you've got two of them. Like, yeah.
And no goaltending. And
yeah, that's what I mean.
It comes back to, you know, it comes back to that. And Ken Holland decided to put his money in Zach Hyman in a couple of different players throughout the summer, hoping that Koskinen could carry the load and that Mike Smith could be healthy. And
he's 40 years old.
He is, for sure. But, you know, my good friend Guy Boucher, you know, took over in Tampa Bay and made it to the conference final with Rolison, right? So as a goalie, he's a 41-year-old. So it's been done before. It just but fix the goaltending in Edmonton and definitely their powerhouse.
Because
the D's aren't that bad.
Improvement. They aren't. They really aren't. And there's a lot of people that throw a lot of hate at them. Mm-hmm. I mean, their D's aren't amazing, but they're not terrible. You know what I mean? So, I don't know.
I'm not seeing it with their defense at all. Mostly just because I've known, like, Tyson Barrie plays on their top pair. I had Tyson Barrie in Toronto for a year. He's not a defenseman. He's a winger playing defense. he can't play defense. He's literally just there to get points on the power play. And you know, move the puck, and he's not a good defenseman in general. Like, his positioning is always off. He's just kind of caught flat-footed sometimes, which is weird because he's fast, but people just seem to get by him and stuff like that.
He's a very specific player. It's tough to
talk
about.
He's an offensive defenseman.
Yeah, it's really tough to talk about Tyson Barrie. He's played for a couple teams now, and you just sort of tell that they see what he brings to the table, but he never really joins a team at the right time kind of thing. I believe he was in Colorado for a while there, and when everything just went to hell. I mean, nothing was working, and they ended up trading everything.
And now it's working out, though, for them.
Josh, who would you say the best team in the league is?
I'm probably going to have to lean towards Tampa on that one, or even I'll stick with my Florida from the start of the year. Because
Florida Panthers.
Yeah, they're a fun team to watch, and they play really good hockey, so.
I think someone was very much going to disagree with you. Greg?
I was waiting. I'm like, okay, so I'm here now. It's my turn to talk.
Please don't say Toronto.
The door's right there. The best team in the league right now over the last few months has been, if just statistically, it's been the Leafs, or I mean, if you want to say Florida. But
listen,
Florida.
Statistically, yes, it's been the Leafs.
Exactly what I mean. I mean, they're just first playing
round exit.
So well.
First round exit, though.
I mean, I don't disagree. But you never know, especially with the team they have now. Like, it was better than last year's team. Obviously, we should have won last year, and then we just dropped the ball after 4 games, which is a theme for us. But, so Jack Campbell playing like a Vezina goalie right now.
He is.
And because I don't want to hear no disagreements from that, because he is.
No, he is.
And their defense is – the one issue they have is they don't have – their depth defensively isn't good. Like, Sandin, he's young and he's really good, but he has these stints where he struggles defensively. Travis Dermott's not the best defensively. Justin Hall, he's terrible. Jake Muzzin has been having an off year, but he's usually pretty rock solid.
Let me just interrupt you there.
Go ahead, buddy.
When you think of best team in the league right now, I'm thinking about the teams that can beat the Lightning for four games, because the Tampa Bay Lightning stand as the one team in the National Hockey League that are supposed to win, should be winning, are winning, and probably will win more. So it's one of those teams that you have to put everyone up against them. They've won the last two Stanley Cups. They haven't really lost a lot. I mean, they have, but they've replaced it very quickly with Corey Perry and such. And so, and then you add on Vasilevsky. So it's one of those things where I think Florida can do it. They almost did last year. They almost did in the first round last year, but...
Wait, can we talk about something here real quick? Because I know people like to hit on the Leafs for not winning in the first round, which is, it's warranted. I get it. Like, don't get me wrong. I don't take offense to it because I clown them for the same thing. Yep. And I'm a fan, and I still get annoyed with them with it. But Florida hasn't won a round in 30-something years, and nobody talks about it. I'm like, I get it. We're a bigger market and everything, but we won a round in 2003. To be honest, I was one, so it didn't matter at the time. But Florida hasn't won since like 1990. Like, they haven't done anything.
The difference is you've made the playoffs multiple times and they haven't.
No, but I mean, even when they make the playoffs, they don't do anything either.
But didn't they make the Stanley Cup Finals in the 90s?
The 90s is like a million years ago at this point.
Eh. Yeah. Come on, dude. I bet you Frank even remembers that.
I remember that, don't you?
God.
All right, well, I think it's Florida. I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this.
You think Florida can beat Tampa in a playoff series?
Yes, I think so. Just the way they play.
96. Florida won the cup in 96.
Yeah. 96.
And after that, nothing else happened.
So that's 25 years ago.
But they won a cup.
They won a cup.
Yeah, they did win a cup. You're not wrong. But since that, they haven't done anything.
That makes me feel bad because I'm a Sens fan, and we haven't won the cup, and we were around 1991. All right.
For me, if I can chime in here.
Go ahead.
Top two teams, National Hockey League, the two C's. Carolina, Colorado. Watch those two,
That's fair enough.
Carolina, yes. Colorado, they're lacking. They had a really rough start.
So much firepower, though, is the thing with them.
Yeah.
They're still one in the West, so.
Oh. And any
if they're
player.
Lacking and they're one in the West. Yeah. They're,
isn't it Nashville?
No.
Nashville's three right now. It's Colorado one. They have 53 points.
And they've been moving a lot too, because the other day, Nashville was in first in the West. So... I don't know. Nashville's been on a roll, which you don't really think about.
The last 10, they haven't been. 5-3-2. Yeah, Colorado's 8-1-1. Three-game win streak.
That's where Colorado's making it up.
And in the East, don't ever sleep on the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's all I'm going to say. Number one on the PK. I believe the number four, number five.
I mean, they're 23-10.
Yeah.
And they're fourth in the Metropolitan.
God, I hate the Pittsburgh Penguins. Whatever.
And that's mostly without Crosby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Malkin.
And Malkin. Malkin just played his first game like a week ago.
Is he hurt again?
He might be.
I saw him walking or limping, and anyways.
Like Gensel. Gensel is their big piece right now.
I mean, dude, all these guys are stepping up for them. Like, you've never heard, like, not Gensel, but like,
I think he has
like Evan Rodriguez is going off, and I'm like, I heard this guy's name one time, and it was a few months ago, and I'm like, who is this guy? And then he ended up scoring like a hat trick against the Leafs, and I'm like, oh, I know his name.
He has like a 19 game point streak or something.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So. All right, well, we're running out of time, so we're going to throw it to a break, and when we come back, we are actually going to interview you and your coaching abilities and all this, then we're going to get into the NFL, a little bit of wild card weekend, and then we'll end it off with a hot topic for our first show of 2022. Stay tuned.
Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ
107.9. Welcome back to the Press Box. I'm Tyler Sear, joined by Josh McGrath-Sega and Greg.
Greg,
that's me. I almost said Alex. I don't know why I almost said Alex.
That's not my name. Introduce
Greg
each other.
Or? Avgaropoulos.
Amen.
Yeah. And joining us at the moment is Frank Sear. Frank, how's it going?
It's going good, Tyler.
Yeah. So we've got a couple questions for you, Frank. You're currently a Nepean Raiders assistant coach. Do you like where you're at?
I do. Yeah, no, this year, I made a really tough decision to leave the girls game. and to leave my post as a general manager and head coach of the Ottawa Lady 67s program. And it was a big decision because it had been the past 7 years I'd been there. But no, I wanted to get back working with the boys, just a different challenge and a little bit of a different world. And for sure, no, I'm very thankful for the opportunity.
So actually, just touching upon that, so what is the difference between going from girls hockey to boys hockey? Like, I've coached girls basketball and boys basketball.
Yeah.
It's very different. I'm just curious on, like, how you see that, coaching at a higher level.
You know what? And I get asked that question. So I got asked that question 8 years ago when I decided to join the girls. You know, in my interview, I was asked, how are you going to treat the girls versus the boys? What do you think the difference is going to be? And then now leaving, you know, I get the same questions in terms of, oh my gosh, you know, how different it is. And to be honest, not that much different. It's really the communication part of it. I'm going to be honest. Sorry, boys, but girls are way smarter.
We all know.
Yeah.
We agree.
We agree. And especially with the athletes I got the opportunity to work with. I mean, whether if they're playing for a high team, high caliber team like they were for me, that means that they dominated every other sport. Whereas with the boys, it's not so much. Boys, they're good at hockey. Don't ask them to dribble a basketball or to kick a soccer ball. And I'm sure, you know, there's a couple of exceptions there. But I'd say communication, approach, and I've really grown and learned coaching girls, especially at a high level, to work on communication and to work on really getting the buy-in and motivating each individual differently.
Yeah.
And that's what I've brought back with the boys. And no, it's been going pretty good. What would you say the difference is? I mean, having coached both.
No, that's what I was, I was going to say. It's like, I don't find it that different. Like, no. I don't find it going into it, you should be treating them any different. Like, we're all humans, right? So it's like, but just like you said, it's just kind of like, you know, if a guy makes a mistake, I feel like I can kind of get more frustrated with him. But like, the girls kind of have to be able to like push them and tell them that they're always doing a good job and whatnot. Because they, like you said, they're smarter. So they know like, they know their mistakes more than guys. Like, guys are very entitled most of the time. So, like, if in basketball, they turn the ball over and I get mad at them because they didn't run the play, they'll be like, oh, coach, I saw something different. And I'm like, pfft. But the girls will just be like, my fault. And then, like, get back on defense, get the ball right back. So it's like, I fully understand what you're saying.
And adding on to that, do you think that in hockey there's more confrontation between the two genders?
You mean?
Like, a boy, in boys hockey, they'll question you. In girls hockey, they'll listen to you.
Yes and no. No, to be honest, I'd say that's pretty much the same. You know, today with social media, it's so different to look at other teams and see what other teams are doing and being questioned as a coach all the time. Hey, you know, I saw this team do that and, you know, somewhere in this league, and why aren't we doing it? Because this is going well for them. And that's girls and boys. I mean, it's not a gender thing. I think it's a caliber or high level thing. Or elite level thing. Once you get to a certain level, they're all prime. They all have objectives and they all have paths they want to take, whether that's NCAA or, you know, national programs or just going to school, youth sport. And it's the same on the boys' side as well. But it's a confidence thing, and I think that's a player-by-player thing, not a gender thing.
In terms of development and all that, you've been coaching junior hockey for the last, what is it? I think it's 4 years now. Would you say that at this level, it's a lot easier to see someone who's going somewhere, sorry, than it was when they were, say, like 14?
No. I think right now, just because of all the training programs and all of the, you know, all the different companies that offer skills development now away from the rink, I think it's tough. I think you have to put them in an environment where, you know, they're being challenged and they're being pushed out of their comfort zones, and that's where you kind of get to see a little bit. You could get some late peaks as well in terms of a 19-year-old really coming through. But no, I think, again, it's individually. And I don't it's much harder because as coaches, and especially me as a coach, you know, the one thing that I should never have to worry about or ask on you or question you is your work ethic, right? Work ethic should be, you know, a given, but sometimes it's not. So, I mean, in terms of that, yeah, you can see it right away. But somebody that could be extremely skilled and have a huge impact on a hockey game may not be your hardest worker. And, you know, I think we've all seen that in terms of what that does to a hockey team. But in terms of work ethic, generally, it's increased significantly. And you go watch U12s, you know, U14s, U15s, the U18s. The work ethic is all there. Yeah, the skill is good, but until they play in that environment, it's really hard to gauge.
So this is like a two-part question. So I just wanted to know, because obviously you coach the Nepean Raiders and you coach the Carleton women's hockey team here for the university. So I just want to know what you wanted to, if you wanted to go to like a higher level of coaching, like go like, I don't know, like let's say OHL or something like that, or anything higher. And going back to the boy-girl thing, I just want to know, do you prefer to coach like is there a reason you coach women's hockey over like men's hockey university? Like, I just wanted to, you know.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. Yeah, and the Ravens, you know, Carleton Ravens, that was when I joined the girls game, you know, 7 years ago. It was an opportunity, or it was a goal of mine to get to as high as I possibly could. And my, you know, objective was to be a head coach in youth sport for a girls program. And, you know, I got a great opportunity with Carleton Ravens women's team. And Pierre Alain, he gave me an opportunity, and I'm very thankful for that. But once I got to it and, you know, I saw what it was, I had already kind of made the decisions to go back to the boys. Sorry, what was the first part of your question there?
Just like if you wanted to go like, higher. What's the highest level you want to go at? If you can get to that.
Yeah, so being a head coach in junior A and CCHL right now is my next objective. Mm-hmm. And then after that, perhaps OHL. I've always wanted to get to the National Hockey League or make it professionally, but you know what? At that point, it's not really – having worked with an NHL coach for 2 years and really getting an understanding for what the position is, I don't think it's for me. It's more of a PR job. It's more of a you know, I don't want to say daycare, but it's basically just keeping the group together and more of a facade. Whereas, you know, when you work in the junior ranks, you're actually working at developing people and making them better.
Stuff
and, yeah, and that's what I really enjoy. I mean, head coach in CCHL would be an objective. Perhaps a position OHL or in the queue would be fantastic. That's pretty much as high as I want to go.
And I think when you get to, like, the National Hockey League kind of thing, you might – like lose that sense of enjoyment a little bit, just because at that point it does turn into a business. At that point you're there to win, not to teach, not to develop, to win. Yeah. That is your job. That is your job as a National Hockey League coach, unless you're like the Sens coach, but coaching the Arizona Coyotes or something. You know, you got a bunch of young guns coming up and they need a coach to push them through. But I mean, when it comes to coaching, what is your favorite team that you've ever coached?
It is a really good question. And, you know, all the teams I've coached, I've enjoyed in some way, shape, or form. I think I'd have to go back to my Bantam AA with the Gatineau Olympics or the Outaouais Olympic Bantam AA team. It was probably my favorite year because, you know, I got to coach with friends. The coaching staff was very, very, very tight. The players that we had were very good, and it was really a developmental team. We were a minor team playing in a league here in Ottawa that was majors, and we made it to the final. And I think that was, you know, an attest to the players buying into what we had to sell, but at the same time just demonstrated the talent that we had and the drive and work ethic. And we were really a family that, you know, that year. And when I think of players like, well, your favorite player, you know, Charles Roy, or when I see him again, you know, today, it's like we had never lost contact. So,
it's unreal.
Yeah. So it's pretty, I think that was my, if I had to pick one so far, that would be it.
Would you say that is your most successful player that you've coached? Is there one player that stands out in particular that, you know, really made it kind of thing? Like, is that, I guess the question is, the most successful player you've coached?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, on the girls' side, there's a couple. There's three that come to mind. You know, Sarah Thompson, who's played for the U18 national team. I had an opportunity to work with her for a year.
Vicky, I believe Hart. She's in Arizona now?
Sarah Thompson's with Syracuse right now, and also played for the U18 national team. There's also Vicky Hartness, who's the assistant captain with UConn. She's in her senior year, so wish her all the best. And, you know, up and coming, Naomi Boucher. I mean, you know, she's playing prep school right now, or CJEP, but going to Yale next year and expecting huge things from her.
Jeez. Damn.
Smart. Yeah, smart lady. So I just have a question in terms of how you prepare for games. So, like, you're with the Raiders right now. So, like, what does it look like going into a weekend of games? How are you preparing for all the different teams and matchups that you're coming up on?
Yeah, that's one of the things I have to give to our coaching staff. They work extremely hard off the ice and, you know, making sure that our boys are prepared and knowing exactly, you know, the advantages that we have over teams and what we can exploit and so forth. But there's a lot of video. There's a lot of meetings. There's a lot of one-on-one chats. And it depends who we're playing. Obviously, we'll prepare. You know, the work ethic has to be there, and we've been pushing them more and more and more. But, I mean, I think the approach is the same, is that we work on process and we make sure process is good and results should come, right? But how we personally prepare, again, is, you know, through video. We've seen these teams often, and we have a really good coaching staff. We're 4 or 5 with Glenn now. So we have a big coaching staff, and we all have our responsibilities, and we make sure that the guys are ready to go.
Last question, Greg.
Yeah. I just want to know, because you said you all have different responsibilities, different coaches do different things. What are the responsibilities you have in terms of preparing for a game and in practice and stuff?
Yeah, you know what? I've been really lucky because the team is brought me on as a volunteer coach just to basically help and bring experience to that. And it was a perfect fit because I was kind of looking at getting back to the boys and wanting to be at the junior level with the guys. So, you know, head coach Phil kind of had me doing everything in terms of kind of overseeing things, sitting in the stands at the beginning, getting to know stuff, getting to know teams we play against, systems and details. And now in the second half, you know, I'll be charged with working with the defensemen. Looking forward to that. Something that I've done at the junior ranks before. And I think that we have, you know, players that could be pushed and that have been pushed. And different voices are always a good thing. So for me, you know, my job is basically looking at PKs, looking at Ds individually in terms of their training programs and how we play in the defensive zone. And depending on who we play in terms of matchups and that sort of thing, and then Phil makes the final call.
All right. Well, Frank, we want to thank you very much for the interview.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
A lot. We also want to thank you for coming out on our show. We're going to move on to the NFL. We're going to throw it to a break first because we're a little bit low on time. So hopefully we get to everything today. But yeah, Greg will start us off there.
The Press Box on CKDJ 107.9. Welcome back to the Press Box on CKDJ 107.9.
Welcome back to the Press Box. We're going to get into the NFL. I'm Tyler Sear, joined by Josh McGrath, Sagan, Greg Avgaropoulos, and as a special guest, Frank Sear. Greg, would you like to start us off?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll go ahead. So we had, obviously, 6 games on the weekend. We had 2 Saturday, 3 Sunday, and then 1 Monday. Usually it's 3-3, or that's what they did last year, but they changed it for some reason. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so first game of the weekend, the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Cincinnati Bengals. That was a fun one. That was like the only good game of the weekend, to be honest. Everything else was a blowout. The Bills game was fun for me because it was great. Like, we just blew out the Patriots. It was awesome. But that game was really fun. Joe Burrow's first career playoff start. And Cincinnati's first playoff win in 31 years, I want to say. I think that's what it was. It was in the 30s, something like that.
31 years.
First playoff win in 31 years.
And you know what? Just because of that, Super Bowl.
It'd be pretty cool to see them in the Super Bowl because Joe Burrow's second, it's his second year too, and he tore his ACL last year, missed the whole year, and now he's coming back. He's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year, and pretty impressive to see, obviously, because you come off an injury that big, see it in every league. Like, usually when you tear an ACL or something big like that, an Achilles, something like anything like that, they come back and they're not, they're like, the same. They don't have the same step in their, their same pep in their step, if you will.
It seems like all the new players coming from college just tend to hurt themselves in the first year.
Yeah, it's
Baker did it.
Not good.
Burrow did it. So
different level, man.
Yeah, but yeah. So the Bengals won that game. It was a really fun one. The Raiders put up a good fight. You know, they came through a lot of adversity this season because one of their best receivers got into DUI, got released. One of their corners was threatening people online with a firearm on his Instagram story, and he got released too. And then their coach got fired because he was sending some inappropriate emails that were not very nice to people. So he got fired too. So they've came through a lot of adversity. They have, you know, their interim head coach, Rich Biscaccia. He did a good job with them, to be honest. I hope he gets re-signed because he's like a good guy. And yeah, so that was the first game. It was fun.
Should've
probably
tied.
The only fun one.
Should have tied.
They should. Yeah, tied. The Chargers and the Raiders. I agree. I was begging for should've a tie. Should have tied. Tie. I really wanted one. It would have been fun because then we have to see the Steelers and the Steelers stink. So, yeah. But yeah, next game, Bills in New England. Don't have to talk too much about this one. I was having a great time. Lost my voice a few times. It was a good one, you know. That game was 20 years of built up frustration of them killing us for 20 years, and it just took it all out on them. It was amazing. It was nice to see Bill Belichick look very angry after the game. I had a great time watching him.
And what a crowd. Unreal crowd.
Yeah, which is weird because everybody was like, oh, it's not going to sell out because like, there were still seats available because it was cold, and then it looked packed in there to me. I mean, it didn't look like there was an empty seat.
It looked like the building was shaking.
Yeah, literally.
And I hopped on Twitter that day and just saw like 50 tweets from Greg in a row, and I was just like, "Yeah, okay. I was like, Bills must be having a good day.
I was having a great night. It was amazing." But yeah, we don't need to get into that game because blowout. And then next game, Philadelphia and the Bucks, and that was a blowout. You know?
Yeah, probably the most underwhelming game of the weekend.
I mean, it wasn't supposed to be good. It's Tom Brady versus a basically rookie QB, Jalen Hurts, or second year, but he's not good, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, that game was you flushed that one down the drain too. That one was terrible.
And I think there's one more game, but no close games this weekend at all.
Only the Bengals won.
No, Cowboys 49ers was kind of close.
No, that was close in the end, but the whole game was dominated by the 49ers. Yeah. And then, Josh, do you want to get into what happened at the end of the game?
I don't really want to talk about it, but I will. Come on, let's go. Ottawa native Neville Gallimore, late in the fourth, we had the third and long, and he got hands to the face, so it was automatic first down. Yep. And then, yeah, like right at the end, we decided to run it when, you know, we definitely should have thrown the ball and we didn't have any timeouts. And,
14 seconds left, no timeouts.
See ya.
Yeah.
Please get him out of there.
They ran QB draw with 14 seconds left and no timeouts. They're like, oh, yeah, let's get closer and then we'll launch a Hail Mary, but they had no time.
He played 1 year of football. You throw to the sideline in that every single
time. He played 1 year of football and he knows.
Yeah, you throw to the sideline every single time. And then we didn't have enough time to freaking spike the ball. So then, yeah, that was game. GG's.
Yeah, and two more games, but Steelers Chiefs don't need to get into that.
No,
Steelers got mauled. We expected them to.
It was a blowout.
Yeah,
good career, Ben.
Yeah, great career, Ben. But you just don't got the Let's welcome. Give Ben a clap. Give Ben a clap. You know, he didn't have the juice anymore. It's okay. It happens to the best of us. You know, he's old, so it happens.
And you know what? You can just see on the sideline. He's sitting there. He doesn't really care that he's there.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, they all knew they were going to lose that game. Nobody thought they were going to win. And then last game. The Rams and the Cardinals, once again, another blowout.
Which was supposed to be the closest game.
It was supposed to be a good game, but Kyler just didn't look ready. It was his second year, or third year now. And he just, and his first playoff game, he did not look ready at all. He looked scared. Yeah, D-Hop wasn't playing because he tore his meniscus.
But he hasn't been playing for the last couple weeks now. So
Yeah, but that's when it kind of
They're also poorly coached. They don't have a good coach. Cliff Kingsbury, he's not smart.
They also kind of
looked
shaky as soon as they lost D-Hop. You know, like Kyler's confidence just went down the drain after that one.
Well, and you saw it. As you saw a similar bout when the Rams played the Cardinals a couple weeks ago in the season, you saw the Cards just sort of fall apart.
Well, they were not organized. They weren't coached well. No. They weren't. It was
the Rams' D line is probably the best in the league, or if like definitely in the top half of things. And I think that was just something that they knew going into this game that they're like, we can just give Kyler a hard time if we just keep driving him back, and pretty much what happened.
Because as I said before, when we were doing our cast, Kyler is a small guy. He's about 5'9", maybe 5'10", and basically when the pressure comes and the O-line is getting back into his face, he can't see over them because they're like 6'4", 6'5", so if the pressure comes and he can't see over them, so he has to roll out, and that's, you know, not good either because it's harder to make a throw when you're on the move, right? So so he has a hard time with that, which it's not his fault. You know, he can't teach height, so it happens.
I think there's only one QB in the league who can really throw the ball while moving, and it's Mahomes.
Josh Allen are the two best guys with that. He can do that too, but it's like
the guys who are the most accurate
while throwing the ball on the run is like Mahomes and Josh Allen, and then it's like gap, and then it's probably like, I don't know, like Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, somebody like that.
Like, yeah, but Mahomes is just on another level, man.
This guy's diving. It's closer. It's closer than people think it is, especially because the Bills are playing the Chiefs in the divisional game, which is going to be the best game of the week. It's not biased. It's just facts.
No.
Josh Allen and Mahomes are not that far off.
All right. Let's not get into this. This will last forever.
I watch film.
Instead of getting into every single game for the upcoming divisional round, which one should fans tune into the most?
Well, obviously, the two best young quarterbacks in the league, Mahomes and Josh Allen, are playing. So, which is the game we just said. And the other one is the
Bucks Rams.
I would go Niners Packers just because the Niners.
I agree.
The Niners beat the Packers in the NFC Championship 2 years ago, and the Niners just play the Packers well. I mean, they have a lot of superstars.
I want the Super Bowl to be Packers and Bengals, but I know it's probably gonna be Packers Bills.
Hey man.
I don't know.
Don't get me going.
Hey, we're not.
Way too excited. I honestly think whoever wins this Chiefs Bills game is going to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC.
I think so, and that's unfortunate because
it's not unfortunate. It's great.
Well, I think the Rams are better than the Bucks. So I think the Rams beat the Bucks, and then
I think the Rams are going to beat the Bucks too.
But it's hard to bet against
Tom Brady.
I just don't see.
The thing is, they're like so banged up. Like they have a lot of injuries.
I just don't see the Rams beating either the Bills or the Chiefs. You know. But I definitely do see
the last few weeks, so you never know.
How cold is it going to be at Lambeau?
Especially for a San Francisco team.
That's what I was asking if it's in Wisconsin. But the thing is,
San Francisco run game, though, it benefits them because they have a better run game. And when it's a cold playoff game like that, usually the team with the better quarterback, first of all, but then the better run game, it really favors them. But I can't pick Jimmy Garoppolo over Aaron Rodgers. Just not going to do it. But, I mean, you could do it because San Francisco is so talented. But their only issue is Jimmy has this tendency to – he'll drop back, and at least twice you'll be like, oh, that's getting picked off and it's going to the house.
Yeah.
But he'll just do that sometimes. And it's that's why I'll never have confidence in them. But one of my friends back home, he loves the 49ers. So he thinks they're going to go to the Super Bowl, which I won't count it out, but I don't trust Jimmy. So that's my take on that.
And then another interesting thing for this week, Greg had just let me know that Derrick Henry is supposed to be ready for this week. So that'll be interesting because, you know, we're kind of counting the Titans out, saying they're going to be the worst one seed coming into this. And getting back
the best
running back, it could be interesting.
All right. Well, this has been the Press Box. Oh, I dropped something. Thank you for listening. It's our first show of 2022. We've got a lot coming in 2022. Josh, can you indulge on that? Are we having another special this year?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a few more specials. We can do one for the March break when we're on reading week. We can do one before then. We'll do a Canada Day one, I'm sure. Yeah, man.
Yeah,
we have a lot coming this year.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's going to be a fun one. Hopefully. We want to thank everybody for 2021. And like I said, lots coming. Hopefully the CCHL playoffs and, you know, obviously a show every week. Thursdays at 1 o'clock and Saturdays at 11 a.m., also, be sure to follow us on Instagram @_press_box. We couldn't get the handle.
Heck of a name.
And Greg, the Twitter?
The Pressbox 7 or something like that. So. It's pretty close to that. But to hop off here. Thank you, Frank, for joining us.
Yes.
If you want to come back again, you know you can come back.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was fun.
Hopefully we can be in those CCHL playoffs for you. It'll be fun.
Yeah, no matter what, we'll be covering them. So stay tuned and follow us on social media for updates. Josh?
Yeah, so last thing, I just remembered that we will be getting local sports coming back this summer. We're going to get some media passes for the Blackjacks, the Red Blacks, the soccer team. I remember our soccer team.
Atletico Ottawa.
Yeah, them. Hopefully we can try and get 67 soon. So some interviews with those players and stuff coming soon, pictures and all that, so. Make sure you follow us on social media for it.
There might even be a potential to commentate the Blackjacks. So that would be fun. Well, because I don't think we can do the baseball team. So, all right. Well, this has been the Press Box. Tune in next week and obviously the week after that because we got a great show.